He had a right to be pleased. Even though it had only been a tiny interplanetary jump, 260 kilometers was an excellent separation distance. Since leaving Tehama, Villeneuve's Revenge had been in orbit around Sacramento. They had extended every sensor, focusing along the trajectory Lance Coulson had sold them until they had found the faint splash of the crystal moon's exhaust. With its exact position and acceleration available in real time, it was just a question of manufacturing themselves to jump coordinate. 260 kilometers, there were Voidhawks that would be pushed to match that kind of accuracy. Thermodump panels stayed inside the monobonded silicon hull as the Villeneuve's Revenge rendezvoused with Crystal Moon. The jump nodes were fully charged. André was cautious. They might need to leave in a hurry. It had happened before. Stealthed Voidhawks, lying in wait. Confederation Navy Marines hiding in the cargo pods. Not to him, though. "Dev, give our target an active sensor sweep, please," André ordered. "Yes, Captain," Bev Lennon said. The combat sensors sent out fingers of questing radiation to probe the crystal moon. The brilliant lance of fusion fire at the rear of the Villeneuve's Revenge sank away to a minute bubble of radiant helium clinging to the tube's nozzle. Crystal moon was 6 kilometers away, wobbling slightly from the impulse imparted by the venting coolant fluid. Thrusters flared around the rear bays, trying to compensate and stabilize. Iron thrusters on the Villeneuve's Revenge fired, nudging the bulky starship in towards its floundering prey. Brendan piloted the multifunction service vehicle up out of the hangar and set off towards the crystal moon. One of the cargo bay doors slowly hinged upwards behind him. "Come on, Brendan," André murmured impatiently, as the small auxiliary craft rode its bright yellow chemical rocket exhaust across the gap. Ukiah Traffic Control would know the communication link had been severed in another 12 minutes. It would take the bureaucrats a few minutes to react, then sensors would review the crystal moon's track. They'd see the spaceship's fusion drive was off, coupled with the lack of an emergency distress beacon. That could only mean one thing. The Navy would be alerted, and if the Villeneuve's Revenge was really unlucky, a patrolling Voidhawk would investigate. André was allowing 20 minutes maximum for the raid. "It checks out clean," Bev Lennon reported, "but the crew must have survived that first X-ray laser strike. I'm picking up electronic emissions from inside the life support capsule. The flight computers are still active." "And they've suppressed the distress beacon," André said. "That's smart. They must know we'd slice that can in half to silence any shout for help. Maybe they'll be in a cooperative mood." He datavised the flight computer to open an intership channel. Eric heard the hiss of static fill the dimly lit bridge as the AV pillar was activated. A series of musical bleeps came with it, then the distinct sound of a child crying. He saw Madeleine Colum's head come up from her acceleration couch, turning in the direction of the communication console. Blue and red shadows flowed over her gaunt, shaven skull. "Crystal Moon, acknowledge contact," André said. "Acknowledge?" a ragged, outraged male voice shouted out of the AV pillar. "You shithead animal! 2 of my crew are dead, fried!" Tina was 15 years old. Eric's neural mnemonic staunched the sudden damp fire in his eyes. A 15-year-old girl! Great God Almighty! These interplanetary ships were often family-operated affairs, cousins and siblings combining into crews. "Release the latches on pods DK-3091 and DL-3007, André said, as though he hadn't heard. "That's all we're here for." "Screw you." "We'll cut them free anyway, Anglo, and if we cut, then the capsule will be included. I'll open your hull up to space like the foil on a freeze-dried food packet." A visual check through the combat sensors showed Eric the MSV was 200 meters away from the crystal moon. Desmond Lefeu had already fitted laser cutters to the craft's robot arms. The spindly white Waldos were running through a pre-programmed articulation test.